Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, guys, so before we start the podcast, quick reminder today, the Echo/Rickshiels shoe is now available to buy today, Friday the 26th of April, 2 p.m. UK time, available at echo.com. These are limited shoes designed by me. Make sure you check them out. Limited stock. You can go and pick up a pair at echo.com today.
All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast, to the Clubhouse podcast. Always a slightly different vibe, so our Friday day episodes.
Yep. I feel like before, when you do the normal podcast, you're a full balloon full of air, right? Okay, ready to pop and explode any minute. And then just let a little bit out for this one. Just a little bit more saggy.
Nice. Saggy Rick. First off, genuinely, we started this podcast a few weeks ago now. Probably up to, what, episode 3 or 4 of the Clubhouse episodes?
Something like that, yeah.
The support has been incredible. Like, we see the viewing, it was the listener videos, because obviously this is exclusively audio only. The listener numbers are fantastic, so thank you.
The thing is, though, you say the support's fantastic. It's a bit over the top that when we leave the office, and I'm saying, whoa, the Clubhouse, and the half and half scarves, which is a bit much. One half's got the Clubhouse, one's got the normal podcast. And then the rivalry between the Clubhouse and the normal podcast, it's just getting ridiculous. It's like the old firm. Play it behind closed doors from now on.
Imagine.
The tattoos. I saw him the other day in Tesco, the Clubhouse tattoo, and I saw him up past this guy who's a normal fan of the normal podcast, and the look they gave each other. I had to go and say, well, guys, we're both growing up. Come on.
We're all friends here.
Yeah.
Like, no, we love the podcast episodes. No, but genuinely, the sport's been
what's
incredible.
Your favourite? What team are you on? I think you're a Clubhouse guy.
You know me.
Yeah, you are.
I like it.
Bloody new, these new lot these days.
I like it. Quick, short, yeah. Quick, not watchable.
Yeah.
And consistently.
Yeah, nice.
If I get it weekly and it's short,
yeah,
and nobody gets to see it, I'm happy.
No eye contact.
No eye contact. That from just you and me, yeah, which is a bit weird.
Well, the best thing about the Clubhouse episode is
it's Matt.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, Matt.
It's
Matt.
Definitely my favourite one.
The best bit of the Clubhouse episode is Matt. Yeah. See, the Matt or Ed, or Ed and Matt, and then we've also got a new starter soon, which we'll introduce you to, and he's got a slight different sounding voice.
He has.
So you, me and Matt.
Yeah, he has.
From a different part in the world.
He is. It's exciting. I have got, and you can feel free to join into this as well if you want, Matt. I've got some questions from the audience today off the Facebook group and also from email. So if you want to have your question read out on the email, feel free to send us one. It's podcast@rickshiels.com. And as always, the ones that have got the more clickbait, elaborate title are the ones that catch my attention. Therefore, there's a better chance of them getting read out. First, though, Rick, it's a question, and it kind of alludes back on to the little teaser you gave in the last podcast from Dougie Hartshorn, I believe it is, on Facebook. Did it hurt to lose to Peter Finch Golf in the Golf Bidder Challenge?
It did.
Okay, great.
It did. It did in the way that it happened.
Question then for you, and this is something we've touched on before. When you're filming that video, you've got 50%, well, I'm going to guess 50%. You tell me the correct numbers. 50% is Rick Shiels making a video for his channel as a content creator and you want to get a lot of views. 50% is Rick Shiels playing a golf match against Peter Finch, who wants to win that match at all costs. What's the actual percentages?
I would say 80-20.
2.
80% I want to win that match. 20%
is this video's annoying me making it, that I just want to be 100% focused on winning this match.
It was tense when we were filming, wasn't
final
it?
Final question then.
He just didn't speak to anyone. The cameras started rolling.
I don't know if you noticed that I was really trying to play tactics.
You looked like you were walking on your own a little bit in the video, yeah.
Because he was using that stupid trolley.
Yeah.
How bad was it? It was terrible. It was really slow.
You drove it into me once.
How it all happened, we were playing at Burr Hill Golf Club, and the original plan, we were going to be playing the new course, which is the original course we played in the golf bit of video. There'd been a lot of rain, and we wanted golf buggies for the crew. We've got quite a lot of equipment, and either that day or the day before, we had to switch it to the old course, which is the other golf course on the other side, because you can have buggies. And basically, on the new course that we originally had at that time, the golf clubs are normally pretty good to look after us. They'll book us a time and then book us four or five times after us, so we've got a bit of time to obviously, you know that I'm telling the audience. And so when we switched over to the old course, there wasn't as much time, so they had to kind of squeeze us out, and unfortunately we actually missed that tee time, and then we actually squeeze out in the middle of a roll up, which is a bit awkward. So we had to be fast. Like, we had to really, 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 really play in regulation play, which is somewhat challenging. And Buddy Pete had this trolley, and it was absolutely doing my head in. I think it's the first time he used it. He didn't have a clue what he was doing with it. He was driving it horrendously. He crashed it into Matt, which I actually think is a violation to a member of my staff. I do think we need to sue him for that. I was obviously carrying, because I'm a young, spriteful lad. You know, I've just run the marathon, so I can carry my golf bag.
Correct.
Obviously, Pete can't. He's obviously, as much as he's a month younger than me, he's obviously in... dog years, he's much older. So he was using this bloody trolley, so that was doing my head in. So yeah, I did walk ahead quite a bit of time, again playing a bit of match play. What frustrated me, I didn't start the round particularly well, but I found myself up in the match, and then once I started to find my game a little bit, I was still up in the match. And then the par three, I think it was about the 14th, I just hit one bad iron shot. I didn't hit enough club, and I ended up short at the green, didn't go up and down, got it back to all square, and then lost the next hole after a bad chip, lost the next hole after stuck it into a bush, and I was two down through nothing, really. I went from one up to two down in three holes, and I was just like, really blew the wind out of my sails.
Would you then, you beat Pete, okay, let's say, one up down the last, and that video in a year gets 500,000 views, or you lose to Pete 3-1, and that video in a year gets 2 million views. So quadruple the views, but you lose.
I want to beat him.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want you to lose for the views.
No, beat him. It's because, you know what it is? It's because I know I can beat him. And the comments seem to tell me otherwise. Like, whenever we put a post out there, it's like Rick versus Pete, who's going to win? It's like heavily, 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 heavily swayed to Pete, even if I put it on my own social medias. And I think, you know what? F*** you lot.
Ooh.
You know, I have to bleep that out. But I just think to myself, you know, I can beat him. I know I can beat him. I've beat him many times before. Is he a better player? Arguably, but I still think I can beat him. Like, in the last few golf bit of matches, I think I've won the second to last one. We drew last year's one. I lost this year only by two up on the last hole. I can beat Pete.
So in answer to Dougie Hartshorn's question, the answer is yes. It hurt a lot.
Yeah. And it was because if I'd played badly, and I didn't play great, don't get me wrong, but he didn't play great either, but if I'd played really badly and he'd embarrassed me, like people were saying that he's going to, like, he won't even get through 10 holes, then obviously that would really, really, really hurt. I think the fact I was up in the match and I had the match, like, I was playing okay, he wasn't playing great, I had him kind of a scruff of the neck, I knew I could beat him. Like, that was the big thing. And I think because it hurt from last year, where I was in a similar position where I was two up with two to play in last year's golf bit of match, and I ended up losing the 17th hole after missing a little short putt on 3-footer, 4-footer, and then sticking in the trees and making bogey up the last, and he made par. I think that was like, I wanted my vengeance, to be honest with you.
Fair dues. Well, I've got an email and I want to hear Matt's take on this, Rick, and I know you'll have a take as well. It says, hi, Rick and Guy. It's from Brad. I broke 80 for the first time today.
Well done.
But I was playing from the winter tees. My home course is still so wet that we're not playing from the summer tees just yet. All normal greens are in play, though. Does this count as breaking 80? A handful of the winter tees are on 20 to 30 yards further forward than the normal tee boxes, with one of them being about 60 to 70 yards further forward. Although it's wet, so you do lose some of the rollout. I wanted your expert and honest opinions on whether I can truly count this as breaking 80. I shot a 78. Thanks for the great podcast, as always. Matthew, your opinion. Did Brad break 80?
He hit the ball 80 times and got round.
78 times.
Under 80 times. 78 times, got round in less than 80. So I'd class it as breaking 80. He broke 80 on that day.
Okay.
In my humble opinion. Yeah. Just Guy, like...
you.
As I always say, the fact is asking the question shows he knows the answer.
Little asterisk.
Little astro.
Look at the asterisk.
I unfortunately don't think it is breaking 80.
We can say he's broken 80.
You can, but think
the
about
course,
it.
The course plays longer, wetter, harder. I don't know. I give it to him.
So if your mate came to you this afternoon and...
He did have a hole-in-one on the pitch and put and classed it as a real goal.
If your mate came up to you and said, oh, Matt, I've just had my best round ever, and you know it's wet and it's, you know, it's not great conditions and you know it's winter tees and everything else. He said, I've had my best round ever. I'm so proud. I've done amazing. I shot whatever score, 78. You're happy with that. What's your best ever score, Matt?
76.
And was that off proper tees?
That was the summer one, because I'm not going to say the one under one, because that was 14 holes, winter course, 14. The whole shebang.
Yeah, shot 68 on 14 holes.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your best ever score, gross?
76.
76. So your mate, who you play with all the time, yeah, comes in February, okay? Winter tees, winter greens, whatever it may be, and comes in and says, oh my God, Matt, I've just shot my best score ever. I've shot a 75. I am now better than you, Matt. I've shot 75 and you've only shot a 76. What's your response then?
I'd be so happy for him. I'd be like, wow, that's, you know, well done, mate. I'm so proud of you. Let's go out again. Do it again. Prove it.
Question then.
No, I quite like the prove it bit.
If I stood next to that wall now and you measured me with my shoes on, I'd be 6 foot.
Would you?
Yep. I'm 5'11 and 3/4. So with my shoes on, I'd be 6 foot. Would you say I'm 6 foot?
Well, no, because you're not
correct.
Okay, he still hits the ball 78
times. And exactly, my shoe having that extra quarter of an inch on is the same as having the tees further forward.
My guy still measured 6 foot on the
correct
wall.
All right, fine, 6 foot. You would never go.
That's a win-win for me.
You'd never go out without shoes, so everyone else that meets you knows that you're 6 foot.
Well, yeah, it's a good conversation. It's a good question to ask, but for me, Matt's given it you, which is fair enough. You've got one off Matt. For me, it's a no. We've also had another good email in from somebody called...
Just to note, for me, it's a no as well.
Oh, sorry, Rick. Sorry, bro. Yeah, we knew Rick was going to be a no anyway. Of course he was. We've got one in from Brian, and it says, I'm a long-time listener. I work as an aircraft mechanic, so I'll put my AirPods in. All the headphones are available. I listen to the podcast all day. So I've been through them all multiple times, and I'm currently back in the 40s episodes. I have a nightmare golf shot from about 6 months ago. It wasn't a beautiful sunny day, but I was on the 156-yard par 3. The green has a 4-foot hump off the back edge that then kind of goes steep downhill into a pond that wraps around the left side of the green to the back. I hit my 8-iron and a blade the heck out of it. The ball rockets over the green and bounces over the top of the hump and rolls down the back side. So I told my friends I would hit a provisional because the ball's probably got in the water at the back. Well, this is where it starts hurting. I hit my second shot, so actually third shot, but second go. I hit it and it's perfect. It hits the green, rolls up to the hole and drops in. I am belated. I know it wasn't an actual hole in one, but it was still a good shot and essentially would be for a par. Well, when we get to the green after everybody else hits, I go pull my ball out of the hole and go back and check my first shot. Now, it did go over the back of the hump, and it's about 8 or 9 foot to the water. My ball stopped about a foot from the water, so his first tee shot didn't go in the water, which he thought it had. He then chipped the ball over the hump. The ball landed on the green, rolled off the front. He then got on the green and went on to 3-putt for a triple bogey. And that was his nightmare.
That does sound bad.
So, first of all, let's talk this through, Ray. You look a bit puzzled. He thinks he's hit into the water, right? So he goes, right, I'll hit a provisional. Holds it. He's then thinking, oh my God, I've got a hole in one, but it's not real. But at least it's a par for the scorecard, right? He then gets to the green, picks up his ball at the hole, but finds his first ball, wasn't in the water. So he then plays it.
How did he play it?
I don't know. He then plays it, no idea why he plays it, and comes off with a 6.
Is the provisional ball not hitting the bottom of the cup at the end of that hole, though?
I would say no, because it's still a provisional ball.
It's only if you can, if you find your lost ball, you have to play it, don't you?
Yes.
So
I think you do.
So you still got to make an effort to actually find the lost ball, and then if after 3 minutes you can't find it, you'd then play your provisional, which would be in the hole.
I think to your point, Rick, you'd be best just saying, "Oh, we won't look for that one."
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just not look very hard.
So
or just don't look for it. You can just say, oh, "I've lost that ball."
Yeah, I can't see it. Mike Cross said, at what golf course not in the current rotation would you like to see play the Open or host the Open?
I've never, well, there's two actually, and probably both of them as controversial as each other. I've never been to Trump Turnberry.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard it's unbelievable. Yeah. And I hear a lot of people, it obviously was an open venue, it now got stripped to be an open venue because it's a Trump golf course, but it's absolutely, from what I've heard, it's phenomenal. We definitely need to go up there and film without question. Maybe when we go up for doing some Troon filming soon. The other one, and again, it's controversial because it's another Trump golf course, but I've got a picture literally behind my back here of Trump International, which is just opposite, across the bay of Trump Aberdeen, of Royal Aberdeen. For me, it's the best golf course I've probably ever played in the UK.
Wow.
So I would love to see a big tournament there.
Well, anyway, have you been to, Matt, that you think?
I probably agree with Rick's, like, for, not that I've been, but I've seen the pictures, or failing that Cruden Bay that we went to.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
That would be pretty cool.
I've got one more actually.
Go on.
But it wouldn't be able to host an open venue.
Don't say my one.
I think, well, got you
I was going to say North Berwick.
Oh.
But it wouldn't be able to.
I was going to say Wallasey.
Wallasey would be good.
But it wouldn't be able to.
No. If anything, imagine like North Berwick hosting an Open.
It'd be awesome.
It wouldn't be able to be a thing. Or like Waltie would be a nice course. Waltie feels like in some ways it, but it's got a bit of room. But it's just that everything else.
Kings Barnes showdown.
Kings Barnes.
Wow. That'd be insane.
Now that would be one. They could host it.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, Kings Barnes would be my choice.
Imagine
yeah.
going into the into that 15th par 3 with a slim lead and wind howling off the ocean.
Oh, that honestly, that would be incredible. That's the reason why I quite like Turnberry as an open venue, because of the scenery.
Pebble Beachy style.
Yeah. Like, what open venue has that scenery?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Royal Liverpool, a tiny bit.
The old course, a tiny bit. Tiniest of tiny bits.
Lytham doesn't. Really. Burtdale doesn't. Carnoustie doesn't.
Port Rush does.
Port Rush does. Actually, Port Rush does. That's pretty impressive. Royal St. George's doesn't. Carnoustie doesn't. I think I've just said that one. Troon doesn't. There's not many that are really on that, almost that right on the cliff edge.
Would you think the Open should always have to be at Lynx course?
Yeah.
Mm. There's not really any parklands that you can think of that...
No, I'd always want it to be at Lynx course. So that's the whole
idea. Yeah, that is the Open. Matt Taylor has said he's been sober for almost 20 years. I know the whole thing when you should buy a round if you get a hole in one. I haven't yet had one, but I'd obviously like to in the future. Since I'm sober... Should I have to buy drinks for everybody? What's your thoughts?
I think it's a dying tradition. I don't think it's mandatory. I think a lot of people now will buy a bottle of whiskey and leave it behind the bar.
That was always the thing at my course.
Which I think, you know, as much as you don't want to be tempted by any alcohol, and well done for your 20 years of being sober. But I think buying a bottle of whiskey or and then just leaving it on the bar, and people can have a little shot of it if they wish to.
You know what I wonder? And this is probably a broader topic. It's quite a deep topic that's more than just golf. But like... do blokes ever lose that, what's the word I'm looking for? When you're in high school, you might do things that you wouldn't really want to do, but you want to fit in, right? Just because it's the thing to do, whether it be styles of hair or clothing or things you might say, or I don't know, anything like that. Genuinely now, I think whiskey is absolutely minging. Now, I know some people love it, and that's for you. You quite like it, don't you? Like, when there's a hole-in-one at my golf club, or my old golf club, and someone would put a bottle of whiskey on, obviously people would go and have it. How many people actually like that whiskey, or they're doing it to look like they want to fit in because they're having a glass of whiskey? I don't reckon 100% of people like the whiskey they're having. It's because it's the thing to do. So why not have a big bowl of sweets?
A big massive some people bowl of might not like sweets.
Yeah, but more people like sweets than whiskey. Do you like whatever you like whiskey, actually, Matt, don't you?
I feel like it. Yeah, I do.
Just I really not like much, whiskey.
Just nice. a little
I don't believe you. Like, it's that horrible. I almost can't believe you. I think you're lying to me. It's horrible. Really nice. It's not. It's horrible. He sniffs it. It's like, it's like poison. It goes down your chest. It was like, it's horrible. It's horrible. And you have to have water in it or ice to take the burn away.
We had that really nice one at Dunbarney.
It's like cigars.
Dundonald Links, isn't it? When we had
people
that.
Don't like cigars.
I must admit, I think I'm with you with that one.
People don't like cigars.
I've had cigars in the past, and that's the one where I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this at all.
Yeah.
But some people do.
What would be a better alternative then to whiskey on a bar? Like, because it can't just be pints of lager. If there's something on a bar that you could go and take some of.
Nice little J2O.
Because then not everyone's going to like that.
Well, yeah, but like, what would be more? Well, what would you choose then? So let's just say you go to a golf club. There's been a hole in one. You can either there's a bottle of whiskey. Rick, have a little tipple. Which you might choose. Would you like that? What else would you like to see when you walk in? And go, oh, that's someone's at a hole in one. That's a cool. I'll have a bit of that. Donuts, little donut.
Yeah,
I'd love a little donut. That's what I'm gonna. If I have a hole in one, donuts,
chocolate bourbon.
I suppose a donut has got a hole in one.
Correct. That's really good. That's the new thing. Let's make a petition. A little curry. Get a little naan.
You can only provide things that have holes in them.
Oh, wow.
Polos.
Four and Swiss cheese. Connect four.
Oh, yeah.
Swiss cheese would be good.
Swiss cheese.
Nah, I'd like that, actually. Cheese and crackers when you get back.
What are the little bread things called that have holes in?
Bagels.
No, well, yeah, bagel, but the little...
Crumpets.
Crumpet.
Yeah. That's nice.
I'm having such a... Imagine that, you walk in, you're at some like rough and ready golf club. You're the only one, lad, and get pints, get a whiskey in. No, we're having crumpets, sir.
I quite like that. What's this big pile of crumpets for? Oh, John had only one.
Where's the crumpet? Oh, that kind of crumpet.
Get your crumpets in.
Wow. Yeah, well...
I think donuts work.
I think that's what if I ever have a hole in one again, I say again because I've had two already. Don't want to, you know, let's not talk about that.
I'm waiting for
it. One more question then from Dacle, David.
How did you get that so wrong?
Because you've been thinking of bagels, right?
I think it's because, no, his name's David Michael Hood, so I call it Dacle. I don't know where that came from. From David Michael Hood. He said, and this is, I think I know the answer to this one straight away, but he said, Rick, if I said, I don't know why David or Dacle has got this decision, but if I said you could play with Tiger Woods tomorrow, but you have to let your son support Man City, would you do it?
Yeah.
I can't believe you paused at that. Yeah. You'd buy him the kit, the away kit, the third kit, the season ticket.
I've become a City fan. Yeah.
You'd donate him to City.
To be honest, it's currently easier to support Man City than it is United.
Question then, and you've got to be honest here, would you change your allegiance to City? And you've got to like, not like, you don't have to suddenly become a massive fan, but you've got to be as much of a City fan as you are currently a Man United fan in order to be guaranteed to film with Tiger in June.
Yes.
Forever you've got to support City. But you got this chance to film with Tiger, 18-hole, 10-shot challenge.
Yes.
What about a little calf tattoo?
Yeah, I like the honesty. I like the fact you would.
Yeah, no, I would.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liverpool and City.
What about last one? Last one. You've got to go. You get to play with Tiger. You have to then support City and or Liverpool.
Do we become, but then you have to
exit Old Trafford.
Is it a good? Is it a good like? Is it a good filming session?
Well, everything's perfect.
Like, do we become friends?
Yeah, so. And you have to throw eggs at Old Trafford and say Glazers in, and throw eggs at them.
I could do it. To film with Tiger, and I think any United fan listening might not agree with that, but come on, to film with Tiger.
Yeah, I would. I'd support Everton.
Oh, Augusta.
Well, no.
No, that's my last...
No, that's my
negotiation.
But then Tiger Augusta turns around at the end and says, we can only be friends if you're a United fan. You're like, oh, it's too late.
Yeah, but then
fan.
You can do what you want once you... No,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah, just but you will never actually be your friend.
Tiger would never, I think Tiger would never be your friend. He wouldn't, would he? He wouldn't. He just stood, he wouldn't. He just doesn't like YouTube, I don't think.
I basically want to become like the next Justin Thomas to him.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas must pinch himself. And also Max Homer, that must pinch. He's become really good friends with him. Because that's another bit of news. It's in the TGL team.
Yeah, I'm over it. Until it happens, I'm over it.
Is it not happening this year, though?
No, it was meant to be started this year,
I know,
wasn't
but
it?
I've still heard it's going to happen maybe this year. Yeah, Tiger's TGL.
You know what?
Announced.
I feel like that, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to badmouth it. It might be really good, but I feel like TGL, the exact thing you'll put on for the first episode when it goes live, or the first, not episode, but the first time it's on, and be like, all right, I'm ready for this. And within 5 minutes, you'd be scrolling on your phone and then not watch it again.
Potentially.
Who knows? I think that is it.
One more.
I don't know if I've got any more. Yeah, I've got one. Okay, this is from John Dent. He says, it's an email. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and looking for some advice. I started golf in 2021 and improved majorly into 2022, shooting my record round of 81 off a 17 handicap and consistently shooting in or around my handicap. So, flipping heck, he started in 2021. Within a year, he's technically become better than average because the average UK handicap is 18 with a record of 81. So I think it's only fair to say he'd give Matt a run for his money.
Easy.
However, handicap's dropped again now.
What are you off now?
7.1.
Neck. You were 21 last year, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, in the winter of 2022, I decided to get lessons to improve my game and help me get even better to breaking 80. Ever since these lessons, I've struggled to even break 100, feeling like my swing has completely left me, and even trying to revert back to my old swing no longer works. For context, the lessons did not adapt on my swing, instead rebuild and fully change every aspect of my swing. So basically, these lessons didn't just go tweak this and tweak that. It was a whole rebuild. What would you do to advise me? I'm struggling to stay motivated, and I'm struggling to break 100. Hope the Masters was great, Rick. Have a great week all from John.
That's tough, John.
So he's gone. And this is something, Rick, as a coach, I'd like to give you a bit more, you give me a bit more advice on, the fact that I am definitely not against golf lessons. I'm really not. They can be massive. And certainly if you're new to the game or any level of the game, they can be very important. However, I do think, I'm not saying John's saying this, but I do think some people think that you know for a lesson, leave the lesson and suddenly get better at golf. And I think you'll know much better than me. Most people probably get a little bit worse before they get better.
Not necessarily. I think it depends on the coach. And I think for me, when I was coaching full time, I was very much on this mindset of, I want you walking out this lesson being better.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to walk out this lesson today feeling like you're going to hit the ball better and be more consistent. Very, very rarely would I go through a full swing change. It would never really be needed too much. Sometimes dramatic changes, yes. Like, you'd get guys coming in with literally the strongest grip you'd ever seen in your life and couldn't get the ball above head high and always going left.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay, well, that is caused 100% because of your grip. We can change your grip. It's going to feel weird, but watch what happens. And they change the grip and it feel weird and not straight away, but by the end of the lesson, they'd hit it the best they've ever hit it. Where it's hard then is you've shown them in that lesson how to hold it, what to do, the processes, taught them through it as much as you can, guided them as much as you possibly can. Then they've got to go away and do it themselves.
Yeah.
And inevitably, they won't do it the same. Like, you know, I've used PTs in the past. You've mm-hmm. used PTs. Matt used to be a PT. Like, you can be shown a certain technique on how to do a deadlift.
Yeah.
To best strength mechanism, not to injure yourself. But when you're doing it completely solo on your own,
it's so different.
You can't spot yourself. You can't see what you're doing. And inevitably, you think you're doing the same, but you're not, are you really?
No.
And you could cause injury. You could cause pain. Like, and I think that's similar with the golf game. You know, no golf coach ever goes out of their way to make someone worse at golf. And they're trying to make adaptions and changes. Sometimes they might want to maybe mold you a little bit more to their style, which is fine. It depends on who you go to. But really, it's once you leave that lesson, you're left in your own capable hands of making sure you still do what you've been told.
I suppose to my point, when I said worse, maybe I didn't mean, maybe I said you're going to leave a lesson probably almost feeling worse. Because if you go into a lesson, even if you hit it crap, your swing might feel quite comfortable. Whereas if you then change your grip from being really, really strong and make it weaker, that would feel horrible, wouldn't it, really?
It does.
But then you're probably going to hit it better.
I think that, again, comes down to the coaching. Like, I was always really, really honest with my students and said, like, we're going to need to change your grip, and these are the reasons why, and almost get them to buy into it. And then say to them, I'm going to be down honest with you, this is going to feel bizarre. This is going to feel strange. You're going to want to revert back to your standard grip, but your standard grip is causing that terrible shot that you hate. So let's trust this process, and you'd kind of really try and guide them into that process. So
makes sense.
when they did hold it the way you wanted to, and they would hit it and look at you and go, oh my God, I've never hit a ball like that. It's like, right, we need to captivate that. But sometimes it is challenging. Sometimes, you know, certain students can only take on two tweaks where a coach might want to do three or four with them, or they might not have quite mastered the first bit of what they've talked about, and then they're moving on to the next bit. So again, I don't believe it's a coach's fault. I don't believe it's any student's fault. It's just that relationship and making sure you've got full 100% clarification on what you need to do when you're leaving that lesson.
I suppose as well, although it's a big difference going from shooting 81 to then struggling to break 100, it's 20 shots different, obviously. It's not really too much difference. Like, you see some tour pros who one minute they're winning on tour or having decent seasons, and then you might almost forget about them and look, and they suddenly drop down the world rankings and they're struggling to make cuts. And I very much doubt, obviously, their difference in strokes has gone up by 20, but 3, 4, or 5 shots around for those guys is huge over a tournament, and that can be a bad few seasons, and they might fix something and come back again. I think all golfers have these dips in form. And if you start golf and you're quite sporty, you can get quite good quite quickly. And when I say good, mid-teen handicap, maybe even single figures. But then to keep getting better and not have any periods of a blip, it's very unusual. It never happens. Every golfer has blips and misses cuts if you're a tour player or anything like that.
I think having belief in your coach as well is a big thing. Like, if you believe and you get on really, really well with your coach, and you know, and you take on board that information, and you have a good working relationship, you go away from that session and then practice. Mm. And even if things aren't working out, you have to go, right, I believe in my coach. He's told me what's wrong and what I need to do. And it's just like having that sort of belief to just trust the process and go through with it. That's what I found a lot, because I've had a lot of swing changes recently and things have gone well, but then started to go south again. But I'm just going back to the lesson that I've had and then just believing in what my coach has told me. And I think that's a big aspect. Some people, I think they don't get that instant sort of feedback, like, oh, I'm not striping it and I'm not doing this. But then, like, hand on heart, how many people can sit there and say, oh, they've had my lesson, and then like hit 1,000 balls in the that following month doing exactly what you've been told to do, rather than
most people don't, do they? Yeah. That's the thing.
I do. Yeah, it's important to trust your coach a lot, I think.
Very good, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Really appreciate it. Again, don't forget the Echo shoes are on sale 2 p.m. today. Be sure to check out echo.com. Pick up a pair, limited stock. You do not want to miss out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.